Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Episode of Paranormal Horizons. My co-host, Jason Ophir, how you doing this evening?
Hi.
Well, he was going to say that he was doing okay, but we lost the connection there. Not sure why, but I know he'll call right back in. Again, welcome to another program this evening, Paranormal Horizons. We have a very interesting guest that we will get online here in a few minutes, David Bryce. He has experience with aliens, and he's going to tell us all about that here on Paranormal Horizons. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio or KITCFM.com, we sure do appreciate it. Oh, good. There's Jason again. Let's see what's going on. I don't know what's going on with that connection. Jason, are you back? Okay. We lost him again. Don't know what's going on with that, but he will... I know he'll call in again, and I'll just kind of keep talking about a few things here. We broadcast normally on Tuesdays on Blog Talk Radio, but we had another technical glitch. And so here we are on Wednesday night, but if you're listening on KITC-FM, that's on Saturdays at 10 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. So be sure to tune in on those times every week. You can also listen to past shows of Paranormal Horizons by going into the archive section of Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com. So let's give Jason another try, Jason. Oh my gosh, it just won't stay connected. I don't understand what's going on, but we had some problems last night, too. So, Jason, I am going to keep talking here, and maybe Jason can try to Skype in. We'll give that a try here in a second, but that's okay. We're still going to have a show no matter what. And I did want to mention a couple of things before I get David on the line. And that is the fact that we are broadcasting now on a station, as I mentioned, KITCFM.com. And that's a community station. It's low power, 106.5 on the dial if you were trying to get it on your radio, but you can just get it on the internet as well. And that's a great station that has lots of great shows that you can listen to anytime. And we're proud to be on that station, KITCFM.com. So I'm going to make a suggestion. We're just not getting Jason on the line, but I'm going to see if maybe he can call in on a different line here. Just typing a note to him And sorry about this, everyone. But while he tries that, I'm just kind of looking at my notes if there's anything else that I wanted to talk about. I know Jason had a couple of things, but we'll just have to hope that we can get him here on the line in a few minutes, and maybe we'll get a stronger connection. Not sure what's going on. But I think I'll go ahead and get David on the line, and we can talk with him all about aliens. David Bryce, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, David. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. The ETs do not want my story to get out there.
That's possible. Now, last night we couldn't get connected at all. Tonight, I'm connected, been able to get David on the line, but Jason is having trouble. He's going to try another number so that he can participate in this conversation as well. David, thank you so much for being with us on Paranormal Horizons, but we need to give the audience a little bit of background on you. Kind of just tell me what happened with you and aliens. I know you told me that you're a contactee, so can you kind of give us your story and when this started happening to you?
Well, it started happening for a while back. As long as I can basically remember. And I don't really remember my childhood at all.
Okay. Hey, let me interrupt you real quick, David. Jason, are you on the line?
I am. There are some serious ghosts in the machine this evening, I swear. You know, I've been communicating with David, and maybe there is some alien activity going on. I don't think the aliens want me to connect this evening.
Well, now we hear you loud and clear, and David, we want to get back to your story, but now that Jason's on, I did a lot of introductory normal stuff, Jason, about a few things about the show, but you and I had a couple of items we wanted to cover quickly because David's got a real interesting story, but I wanted to bring up something you and I had talked about earlier this week. There's a funding project going on that has nothing to do with the paranormal, but it's someone that you know that had an accident, Jason. I believe his name is Matt. Is it Matt Glass?
Yeah, Matt Glass. Basically, I'm in a motorcycle club, and you know, it's a really tight-knit community. And one of our club brothers was traveling on the freeway, and the traffic was stopped on one side of the freeway. Well, so he's cruising along on the other side of the freeway, and all the traffic's going the same direction, but one side stalled. Well, a car crosses two lanes of traffic almost horizontally right in front of him. He hits the back of the car at speed. And the impact almost propels him. This was on an overpass. It almost propels him over the overpass. And he did sustain some significant injuries. But there's been a lot of fallout. He's lost his job. And a lot more information along with a video of the accident can be seen on GoFundMe.com if you just type in Matt Glass. But I also, to try and help him out, I also created a little bit of a promo, which we can play when you're ready.
All right. We definitely want to hear that. David, hang tight with us. Our very special guest this evening, David Bryce, will be talking with him shortly about aliens. But, yes, please, let's hear that commercial, Jason.
Here we go.
Jason Ophir from Paranormal Horizons. On August 25th, 2014, my brother, Matt Glass, was out riding his motorcycle. He was in an accident that was caused by a negligent driver crossing two lanes of traffic. Matt crashed into the car and was almost propelled over the freeway overpass. His injuries consisted of a compression fracture to his L3, bone spurs, a blown disc, and some superficial injuries. Matt was really lucky. However, he could use some financial support. If you could, just spare a few dollars and donate to his GoFundMe site, which is at GoFundMe, and just type in Matt Glass. It would be greatly appreciated. Thank you from Paranormal Horizons.
Well, right on. And I hope that his recovery is coming along well, Jason.
I think it is. I think it's really kind of a financial burden. The information that's listed on the GoFundMe is that the other driver, it seems that he is trying to fight it, which I don't see how you could, driving so recklessly. But,
yeah.
If anybody could donate, you know, even a small amount, it would be greatly appreciated. He's a great guy. In fact, me and him were together a few days prior to the accident, and he was graciously helping me fix my motorcycle because I was having some mechanical problems. So,
yeah.
He's a great guy, and any help would be really appreciated.
And we will be making a donation to Matt Glass on behalf of Paranormal Horizons. So thank you for bringing that forward, Jason. So, gosh, let's get back to David. David, you still there?
Yep.
All right. So we were just getting into David's history, Jason. And so, David, you mentioned that you don't really remember too much of your childhood.
That's why I only have, like, bits and pieces of it.
Okay. When did you discover that you had been, should I say, abducted? Were you actually abducted?
Yeah, pretty much about in my early teens.
And how did you figure all that out?
Well, in the middle of the night, I kind of like sent something right by my bed, so I opened my eyes, looked to my left, and there was this hooded being standing right there next to my bed. And until recently, I did not know what else happened, because after that I blacked out, but recently I found out what happened after that. Basically, it came closer, placed one hand right on my forehead where my third eye is, and its other hand right over my heart, and I felt energy started to flow through me. Then in my head, telepathically, I heard it say, "You will remember this encounter at the right time. I am assisting your awakening."
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, I can certainly relate to some of these experiences. You know, interestingly, and I've talked about it before on the show, I've had some similar experiences, and I, too, can't remember much of my childhood. I wonder if there's a connection there. It's kind of interesting. And also, you know, David, he sent me some of his drawings, and what I also found curious is back when I was younger, I was writing down these symbols as well, and actually a lot of the symbols that I was writing are really similar to what he was writing. So there could be a connection there.
Wow. So that I've heard about, you know, the symbols before from other folks as well, but I want to take a step back, David. So when this being, or should we call it an alien, was on your bed, how did you feel? I mean, and I know you said he put his hand on your third eye and your heart, but were you freaked out?
Somehow I felt very calm. It felt like it was a actual family member.
Wow.
It was family member, yeah.
Now, that's the difference between an abductee and a contactee, right? You're a contactee. An abductee would be somebody where they're taken against their will. But you actually have some sort of relationship with these beings. Am I correct with that?
Somehow I feel that way, yes.
So, David, after that experience and that was when you were a teenager, and now when you said the alien, is that one of those aliens that we typically see that they call the grays with the large eyes?
I encountered the grays, but that one that I saw beside my bed, when it was throwing the energy into me, I got a look at its face. It was more of a reptilian humanoid face with eyes that are like 2-3 times bigger than human eyes, but look almost exactly like a human eye.
But more like a reptile.
Yeah. So I encounter reptilians and the gray.
Oh, my.
No.
Okay.
But now we hear about the reptilians and the grays quite often. It seems to be circulated out there on the Internet that the reptilians are really more aggressive. Is that correct in your experience?
Well, not all are so mean, as far as I'm concerned. There are good ones and bad ones.
Kind of just like people, huh?
Yep.
So, David, continue on then kind of with the, you know, how after that experience of the reptilian alien being on your bed and giving you that message that you will remember this as part of your awakening, then what happened in your life? What did they continue to show themselves to you?
After that, I've been having the encounters with the gray.
Okay.
And
how did that come about?
Yeah.
Well, before the me seeing the hooded figure being, one night I actually felt something rubbing my back when there was no one else in the room. And my back was up against the wall where even if a person could rub me, it would not be on my back.
What do you think it was doing? Was it trying what do you think its purpose of rubbing your back was?
Well, back then, I was in a very abusive group home. So I think it was trying to comfort me. I mean, that group home, I don't even want to remember about that place.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like it was a good experience at all for you, David, but it's interesting then that you were in a challenging situation and somehow you felt comfort possibly from the grays. Is that a correct statement? Okay. So then did you start like being taken up in a ship or kind of just tell us like what happened? Go ahead.
Well, after the encounter with the reptilian, I started to really encounter the grays more often. One time, I actually awoken on a cold metal table with four of them around me. They looked at each other, then looked at me, then one of them picked up a spoon-like object, placed it near my mouth, and whatever was in it, one of them looked at me right through my eyes, and I felt a great thirst for knowledge come into me, and also as if something was being downloaded into me.
Okay, so you didn't feel...
Is there any way to know what that was, what was being downloaded? That would be really interesting to have maybe possibly some hypnosis, because, you know, maybe there's some really intriguing knowledge or something.
Yeah. I think it may have been those symbols that I've been drawing lately.
What do you think the symbols are? Now, you had sent me in the past a few pages of symbols. Do you think it's would be the equivalent of what we have in terms of writing? Or do you think that it's some sort of schematic? Or what do you think those symbols mean? What do you think the message is?
Well, one of those symbols I sent you, it looked almost like a crystal, like a machine part that is powered by crystals. So I'm saying that it probably is like a craft for me to build. But I have to decipher the symbols.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, you said that you had some similar symbols that have come to you in the past. Was it Did you ever have any connection like that, like a craft, building some sort of spaceship, if you will?
I don't want to dig too much into David's time, but I can. A lot of people, a lot of the listeners out there know that my forte is aliens, because I've had some really wild stuff happen, and even stuff that had left, you know, physical evidence behind and stuff. But the way mine started is there are some similarities between us, and those similarities are these symbols. When my whole thing started, it started with symbols. They just popped into my head. They were, you know, I was super, I don't know how to say, like, it was really compelling and powerful, I guess would be the right word. So it wasn't just like my imagination, I'm sitting with a pen and pencil, and oh, here's some symbols. I mean, there was definitely some sort of psychological, powerful meaning behind what was coming to me. And some of those symbols, like I said, are very similar to what David has, but I never really explored to try and determine any meaning behind it. I think my symbols were not schematics. I think it was some sort of dialect writing kind of thing.
Okay, David, comments on that?
Yeah, well, also some of the symbols, some of them do kind of look like writing. I even showed them to other people, and they said it looks like the language of the grave or the language of the reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the connection between the reptilians and grays? Are they batting for the same team, or are they competing or fighting? It's interesting to me, because usually when I've talked to people that have had these experiences, it's usually one or the other is contacting them. Do you happen to know or have any revelations as the connection between the two, or why you might be experiencing contact with both of them?
Probably because, there's a major change coming up in the Earth history, like a shift in dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably trying to prepare humans to go through that change.
Well, we've heard,
so,
we've
David,
heard that before,
go ahead.
You know, the dimensional ascension where people become more spiritual and stuff like that. So it's interesting. That's something I've heard before anyway.
Yeah.
So, David, though, I got to jump back to the actual times that you remember of being on the ship, I guess. Well, that's the only way I can think of to say it. So you described an experience where you were on a metal table and there was four grays around you. Now, when that happens, do you have any recollection of being taken up, or is it like suddenly you wake up and or you just have these bits of remembrance of these things happening? Is that how it goes? Happens for you?
Basically, I just woke up on it.
So you didn't remember being taken?
No, I don't.
Okay, and then do you know how much time passed?
I know.
Okay.
And my dad says it does run the family. He said before I was born, my dad was drawing symbols, getting messages, and waking up 150 miles away from where he went to sleep. He went to sleep under a bridge, then 150 miles, then he woke up 150 miles further away under another bridge.
And so he thinks he had some alien contact prior as well.
Yeah. And also my grandfather, when he was living near the woods, he saw something in the woods. He was compelled to go to it. And before that, he was a hunter and a fisherman. And when he came back, he did not want to hunt or fish anymore.
I wonder why.
Well, we hear about those, you know, it kind of following a lineage. You know, it seems like family lines tend to have the same experiences. So I,
yes,
you know, you wouldn't, I wouldn't think that that's that unusual. But, you know, one thing for the listeners out there, you know, there's obviously going to be, with anything having to do with the paranormal, there's going to be skeptics and people that doubt it and stuff like that. Now, me personally, we all know I'm a believer. But for the benefit of the listeners, what sort of physical manifestations have there been with any kind of physical evidence? Are there, is there, was there at any time physical evidence that was left behind that, you know, support that these things are occurring, you know, like scars or objects or anything like that?
Basically, a few times after I woke up, after an encounter, I look in the mirror, and sometimes there are, like, these little dots on my cheek that are, like, in straight parallel lines. Kind of like a grid.
Well, that's interesting. Did you ever experience anything like that, Jason?
Yeah, I've got, like, major scars all on my back that are unexplainable, but not, like,
mm-hmm.
little scars. I'm talking massive
yeah.
scarring on my back.
Huh, interesting. So, David, we are going to take a quick commercial break. One of the things that we're very proud of here on Paranormal Horizons is our Friends of Paranormal, and we like to help each other out. We've got a series of commercials that Jason has done for several other paranormal groups, and we want to just take a quick little break and have one of our commercials. Jason, I think you probably have one in mind to play this evening here on Paranormal Horizons, also on KITCFM.com. I'm Pat Rice with Jason Ophir and our very special guest this evening, David Bryce, talking about aliens.
Let's give Dayton, Ohio Supernatural some love.
Huh? Can you repeat that?
You are about to enter into the world of Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
There are big red holy water now.
Oh, no. This bubble just moved.
It's moving again.
It's moving again.
Oh.
Is your house haunted? Are you experiencing strange things such as moving objects, strange sounds, footsteps? Then you should contact Dayton, Ohio Supernatural Paranormal Investigations.
Get in here now.
You guys hear a little girl? I swear I just heard a little girl.
You can locate DOS on Facebook at facebook.com/DaytonOhioSupernaturalDOS.
Would you be mad if I sprinkled some holy water down here?
Oh, that's freaky.
What?
Cleansing.
I got pushed on the set just now. What? Swear to God.
See, I'm
sorry. Oh, my God. I just got pushed on the set.
Help me.
Help me.
The paranormal world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. If you're experiencing strange things in your home or business, why don't you give Dayton, Ohio Supernatural a call and see if you can get some answers.
Dayton, Ohio. Friends of Paranormal Horizons. All right. Great group out there. All right. Here we're back with myself, Pat Rice, Jason Ophir, and our guest, David Bryce. He's got some experience with a couple types of aliens, reptile type, if I'm saying that correctly, and the grays.
Yeah, I'm finding it intriguing. You know, on our show, we really have not been able to touch a whole lot on contactees/abductions. So I'm kind of like a kid in a candy store right now because this is right up my forte. This is right up my road, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. We haven't been able to talk to very many people, David, about, you know, folks like you that, are, you know, are willing to share their experience. So we really appreciate your, you know, being willing to be on Paranormal Horizons. So, Jason, I got a couple quick things I wanted to ask David, and I know you've got a lot of things on your list too, but so David, do you, that message that you got originally where the alien put the hand on your third eye and your heart about the awakening, what do you have any sense of what that meant?
Basically, it means that the people of Earth will find out the truth, and basically we will awaken to what's truly going on around us instead of what we actually see on TV, which is mostly false information.
Right on. I can relate to that.
I wish I could say that my experiences have been enlightening or potentially enlightening like that, that mine weren't like that at all.
Ah.
Yeah, with my experience, it was more of like a clinical kind of thing where it was rather unpleasant. I never had any kind of contact that where they tried to, you know, give me information or anything like that. It's I wonder why.
So yours was more like experimental kind of stuff, Jason. So, David, did you ever have anything like that happen in the times that you have been with the Grays? Did they ever do anything that you were uncomfortable with?
Not that I can remember. But I also have something else to say.
Okay.
I kind of like what may sound like gibberish, I actually believe it's a of language not of origin. And when I was on another radio show, they told me it was like, it sounded like the Anunnaki language.
I've read a lot about that, the Anunnaki, yeah.
But wait a minute, you mean when you were talking, it sounded like a different language, you mean?
Yeah, like, may I say a little bit of it?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Basically, it's like this. No bog shiki uka choko nuba.
Kind of sounds like Klingon.
It sounds like what?
It reminds me of Klingon from Star Trek.
Well,
I don't know what Klingon sounds like, Jason, but so is that just something that stayed in your head, David?
Basically. And also,
interesting.
Oh yeah, also, I have learned about some abilities I have that I think that they are actually interested in. I have learned about the healing ability, and I can, like, and I also am working on another ability which I just learned, which I am just figure out I know. Almost see a person's path. Almost, like, it's still blurry, but I can see the path.
Is that, I didn't quite catch, to see their past? Like, I didn't quite catch
or
that.
Or path. Or are you
oh,
mean
their path?
Past or path?
The past. You know,
okay.
Like, during this life, what happened to them, like, many years ago.
Okay, you mean like a past life.
No, a past life in this life that already happened to them.
Okay, got it. So you can pick up on that. Wow.
And also, I can feel emotion, actually,
mm-hmm.
in the air.
Ooh, like an empath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing, David, is really, I mean, for that ability that you have is at least what I know is that that's an empath ability where you can, you know, pick up on the emotions and things that have happened to people as you described in the past. So, yeah, that's interesting. And I think that's kind of hard to deal with sometimes when you get all these messages and you're picking up on others' emotions. You know, how do you block that out? That could be kind of challenging. So, but
basically,
do you feel like
a clear mind? I basically just keep a clear mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and also, may I talk about other encounters I had?
Yeah,
yes.
For sure. Yeah, what else has been going on?
Well, one night in the middle of the night when I was doing the group home, it felt as if I was like floating. Then also I saw it move towards the wall, so I picked up a shoe and threw it in my closet. And when I went through the wall, I basically blacked out. The next morning, when I woke up, I looked in the closet, the shoe was there where I threw it.
Oh, that's interesting. So basically, I've heard this as well. So something was levitating you and basically enabled you to presumably, you know, probably get sucked through the wall with a tractor beam kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Because I've heard of that before as well. But also what's interesting is that you were kind of able to validate the experience by having, you know, being able to see the shoe in the closet and having the memory of throwing it.
Yeah, I'm pretty smart like that.
Yeah, you always want to like leave a mark so when they wipe your memory, you can have a trigger object that you can see and to try and bring back the memories. So I've heard that before, actually.
Yeah, I always find it ahead.
So what other experiences have you had, David?
Well, not too long ago, I was trying to telepathically communicate with them. Then I fell asleep, and in the middle of the night, I felt something coming over onto my stomach, then coming back onto my backside, and I managed to slightly open up my eyes, and I saw a gray layer.
Mm-hmm.
And I blacked out white layer.
Hmm. So you saw the gray, but then you kind of blacked out.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was about. I wonder if they took you up in the ship at that point.
Yeah, possible, because I was trying to have another encounter if they would let it happen. And obviously they so.
Let me ask you this. And this question is based on my own experience because I've noticed a couple similarities with a few things that you've said so far. Is do you know or do you have a sense before something happens, like right before they make contact with you, do you get any kind of physical sensations like they're trying to turn you off, to black you out or anything like that?
Yeah, basically my body gets it very tingly, right in between my eyes on the nose bridge. It feels like there are threats are being put there.
Because I've noticed, you know, and I know this sounds crazy for the listeners out there, but, you know, I've had some weird things happen, but it kind of creeps me out a little bit, you know, that there's some similarities, you know, between what David's saying and what my own personal experience has been. I've actually had a lot of physical evidence left behind, so it really validates what I've experienced. But the similarities, some of them are really kind of uncanny. And I just ask the listeners just have an open mind, you know, because in my experience, these things are real. People do experience them. And for the skeptics out there, you know, there are going to be skeptics who are listeners that are going to say that, oh, well, this is all hypnagogia, you know, sleep paralysis and stuff like that. But I truly believe that while this phenomenon may not be super common, that it is happening with some individuals.
Well, absolutely, Jason. And I have talked with another guest on, not on this show, but on a prior show, Super Unknown, and I'm not going to name him without his permission, but he was very reluctant to talk about his experiences because he, well, number one, he thought that everyone would think he was crazy. And probably Jason and David, you might have experienced some of that because, you know, you just can't walk around saying, oh, hey, I've been abducted by aliens. And that there's, you know, just going to be some negativity around that. But I've talked with another gentleman who had some similar experiences and mentioned that he felt that he had been abducted starting at a young age many, many times. Of course, didn't remember it until he was older, which was interesting. And I'd like to get him on as a guest again in the future. But David, that also sounds like some of the experiences, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what you're describing is that you may not even know how many times or some of the things that may have happened with your experiences with the Greys and the other aliens because they've blocked it out for whatever reason. And like you said, you know, you don't remember much of your childhood. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, how much, I'm trying to get an idea of, like, Pat, do you remember your childhood? I mean, do all these vivid memories come back? Because I'm like David, I don't remember anything.
Well, I remember certain things. I mean, I don't remember from, like, you know, age one to three, I don't think I remember anything. But then I have, you know, different pieces of information that I remember for sure. You know, I remember where I lived. I remember certain family experiences. So, yeah, no, I have definitely a pretty good, you know, remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, So when you say that you don't remember much of your childhood at all, you know, and I know, you know, let's, you know, be realistic. There's been, you know, in the psychology world, and I'm not suggesting that this happened to either of you, but sometimes when we've had dramatic experiences in our lives, we block that out. You know, we just, that's the protection of, you know, if something dramatic happens, especially as a child, it's blocked out because
it's
too difficult to remember. It's too painful to remember. So, again, you know, just throwing that out there. But even with if you're being abducted at a young age, and there's other stories of folks that have come forward that have said the same thing. They don't remember a lot. There was one story I read once where this gentleman said, I don't remember 5 years of my life as an adult. And he wasn't a drug addict. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it's something I've wondered about because I'm like, David, I don't remember anything. It's almost like it didn't happen. But, you know, another question that popped into my head here, oh, now it just left my head. I think the aliens are sucking my thoughts.
I know. David, what's going on with that?
I remember. So my question is a lot of people find these experiences, a lot of people that claim to have these experiences find it not to be a desirable experience. With your experience, would you prefer that these events not happen, or what's your opinion of it? Are you enjoying this contact, or how do you feel about it?
Basically, it's kind of like I am being enlightened when I have these encounters. So I would like them to continue, most definitely. Oh yeah, and also, one morning, just before I woke up, I heard someone or something say, look for our ship.
Did you, like, were you outside?
Yeah,
were you looking at the stars, or?
Since then, I've been looking up in the sky. And then this year, during January, I actually saw a good-sized UFO kind of high up in the sky, moving in a like a southwest direction.
What did it look like?
Basically, had 11 lights, red, blue, and yellow. It was circular, and as I looked closely, I barely even saw it, but there was an orb that exited it and flew off.
How far away was it? Was it, like, really far away, like a...
Saw it. I estimated it to be about maybe, like, 10 miles away, about, like, about 3-4 miles up. And it was moving extremely slow.
Mm-hmm. That's fairly close in the context of things flying around in the sky.
Yeah. And sometimes, like usually like once a month, I have a strong urge to go outside. And when I do that, I basically like go into a trance and it feels like stuff gets downloaded into me more.
Hmm.
Have you ever had hypnosis to try and recall the experiences or what exactly information you believe, you know?
I watched a hypnosis session, but I don't really know any place near here that can do it for cheap. The
yeah.
place I know of would be expensive, but all the way up like in the Norfolk area in VA.
Have you sought out any kind of, because some areas have support groups for contactees, have you sought any groups out, you know, to meet with other people, other contactees?
Basically, I live in and basically it kind of like semi-isolated out in the country of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to meet up with them, I would have to travel a long way to meet up with them.
Yeah.
And I would have to do it by foot because I have no other transportation to get there. So it would
yeah.
take me a while to get there.
Yeah, I hear that. When you live out in the country, sometimes it's hard to get where you need to get. But David, with your experience with the aliens, your overall feeling, is it positive? Would you say that they don't mean harm, that there's, you know, just kind of describe how you feel about it.
They basically don't mean no harm. Oh yeah, and my dad, he wants me to let y'all know that every time he goes to the ocean, it's like the ocean is trying to swallow him. Because when he gets near the water, the waves get, like, bigger and bigger. And when he goes away from them, they get smaller.
Oh, that I haven't heard before.
Like the mouth.
It reminds me of, like, the was it the Greek god Poseidon or something, you know,
or like somewhere out in Atlantis or the Bermuda Triangle is trying to call him out there.
So why do you think that the waves change in intensity or height with your father? Does he have an idea of why that would be?
Not really.
Because I wanted them to get bigger.
Oh, he said he wanted them to get bigger and they did.
Oh, okay. So maybe some sort of connection to the earth or some sort of psychic ability?
Our family has Druid blood in us. We are a Druid family, basically speaking. Druid. I can't pronounce it right.
Druids. Okay, that's like the I don't know, is that Druids are Celtic, right?
Well, yeah.
Basically, my dad is like a water dwarf, while I am like a one with air because I can speed up the wind to a certain extent.
Well, druids are connected to the earth.
Huh?
druids have the ability, you know, part of at least what I've learned and understood is that druids have a connection to the earth and the elements, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that sounds right on. Yeah. And wow.
Have you ever heard of cloud splitting?
Huh?
Have you ever heard of cloud splitting?
I don't think so.
It's kind of old school, but a lot of these psychics would go out, they would pick a cloud, and just with their mind power alone, they would split the cloud. And apparently there's some people out there that can manipulate the clouds. I mean, clouds are always forming and changing, but there are some really good photographs of people doing it where literally this big cloud gets split, you know, straight down the middle. And it kind of reminds me of that, to where, you know, people are being able to affect the, you know, the physical world around them, kind of along the same lines. You should try that. Try that. Just find a cloud outside and focus and tell it exactly where to split and see if it does it.
Okay. My dad said he actually called the rain, and then it rained for a full day. Yeah, 24 hours.
Well.
So you guys have some, yeah.
So most definitely they are interested in our bloodline. So also, I am more of like a warrior of our family because I fight for to defend and for honor.
Right on.
And my dad, he's a healer.
I need a healer.
Right
heal
on.
Me.
You know. Hey David, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We're just thrilled to hear about your experiences and your openness about your alien abductions and your family history, and we want to thank you so much for being on Paranormal Horizons.
Can I say one more thing I had?
Yes, please.
Stupid dream. Basically, a giant human-sized moth came to me and then on my back told me to meet it in a clearing. And in that lucid dream, I went right through the wall to the ceiling, and then it took me up into the sky, and I don't remember really nothing after that.
Maybe it wasn't a dream.
That's what I'm thinking. It could have been them again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
we
always hear that when people have some of these experiences that the aliens are replaced in their mind with things like deer, owls. You know, maybe the moth was an alien.
Yeah, because when I looked at it, it had a very big, huge black eye.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, listen, David, thank you again for being on the show. We've got just a few minutes left on the show. Jason and I are going to take care of some other announcements and things like that. And I know it's very late in your evening, calling all the way from North Carolina. We so appreciate you taking time and being with us on Paranormal Horizons. David Bryce, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, David.
All right, good night. All right, good night. We'll talk to you soon.
Night, bye. David.
All right, Jason. Well, gosh, what a interesting show that we had this evening with David Bryce talking about aliens here on Paranormal Horizons. But I just wanted to cover a few other items, Jason, before we run out of time. Again, I wanted to mention, has nothing to do with the paranormal, Matt Glasser, a friend and brother of yours who was injured in a very serious motorcycle accident here in Oregon where we live. And it was interesting, Jason, about that it was caught from an ODOT camera from I guess the vehicle was behind it all. and kind of, you know, saw all of that happening. And we want to remind everyone again about the fundraiser that's going on to help with medical bills for Matt Glasser. Jason, what's that website again?
Yeah, it's Matt Glass. And if you go to the GoFundMe.com, there's a search bar and you can just type in Matt Glass. That's just Matt, G-L-A-S-S. And it'll take you to the page. And on the page, you'll have the opportunity to see the accident, and then there's more detailed information on a situation. And, you know, any help that anybody out there could provide would be greatly
appreciated. Well, you know, even $20.
Yeah,
you
even
know,
$5, you know.
Yeah, it helps. And so speaking of funding, Jason, I wanted to mention, I talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. We're really honored to be part of KITCFM.com, where they rebroadcast our show on Saturdays. And there's also another station that's going to be starting that's affiliated with KITCFM, and it's KNCPFM. And this is all community radio. These are stations that are low power, but they're real radio. They hit about a 30-mile radius. You can, of course, listen online anytime. But community radio is really such a gem in the radio communications world, if you will. It offers opportunities for communities to come together on the radio, educational opportunities, and so forth. And then, you know, look at us. We're on that station. And now another station is starting that I'm part of, and there's a fundraising campaign that's going to be kicked off for that. And it's going to be on Kickstarter, which is another, you know, one of those websites that raises money. It's not live yet. We'll let everyone know. We'll paste it on our Facebook page. And again, they need to raise enough money to get the equipment to get another station going. And, you know, it's not like anybody makes money from this. It's just this great opportunity for shows like this to be played, musical shows. They play local sports shows. They have Chamber of Commerce news. It's just really, really cool, in my opinion. And you know, I love radio, and I love big stations too, but big stations have a lot of control, and these smaller stations lend us the opportunity, again, to do creative shows like this. So that's going to be on Kickstarter, and we'll let everybody know about that.
Yeah, I know. I sure appreciate, you know, having one of the stations carry this show. It's a great opportunity to hit a little bit broader of an audience, and
it sure is, because even though it only hits a 30-mile radius with the antenna, you can still get the station via the web, you know, the World Wide Web. So that's really cool, too. And now, Jason, we've got some great shows coming up in the next few weeks, thanks to you. You've done all the bookings. Next week, yes, the 9th, Tuesday the 9th, we have Dawn Short. And I don't know much about Dawn.
You know, I'm waiting for a bio. I know she does a lot of everything, paranormal investigating, and several other things as well. But it should be a great show on the 9th. But actually, you know, we're pretty much booked through the beginning of October.
I know.
Took the time to set all that up because I've been super lazy. Not even so much busy as lazy. So I made sure that we're square for the next month. We've got a lot of great guests coming on. Another one that we're going to be having on is Mord McGee.
Yeah.
Towards the end, and we're going to be doing some book giveaways.
Yeah, he's got this cool book about ghosts of San Francisco. I've been reading through it because I lived in San Francisco, and so he was so gracious and already sent us some books. And then we do have an opening, though, on the 16th of September, but I'm hoping to fill that with Ellen Isola, who's a psychic and a numerologist. And I'm just waiting for her confirmation on that. And then we've got another guest coming up on the 23rd, Misha Johnson. And like you said, we're all the way into October. In October, we've got Cherry Divine. So lots of great shows coming up every Tuesday, 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Saturdays, 10 p.m. on KITCFM.com. And, of course, you can always listen to past shows anytime on Blog Talk Radio.
And I did want to add real quick with the show on the 23rd with Misha, that's we're going to be kind of jumping back into this whole contactee thing. So if David's listening,
okay.
She knows all about the contactee and the Star Children, and it's all kind of along the same lines as what David was talking about. So it'll be
really
interesting.
It will, and I've read a little bit about the Star Children too, so that'll be great to kind of keep going on that line. And I do want to thank David again for being on the show this evening and sharing his experiences, because I don't think that's always easy to do, you know, saying, hey, I was abducted by an alien. So thank you again, David, and everyone out there. Yeah, yes, and you know too, Jason, from your own individual experiences. So, Jason, if you don't have anything else, I think it's probably time to say goodnight to everybody.
Nope, that's it. I hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday, 7 p.m.
Next Tuesday for another great episode of Paranormal Horizons. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.